Alrighty, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Reformed Dissenters. That's us, Bruce Johnson, Jacob Johnson here. We are the show where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. We're super excited to have you joining us today on this Current Events Wednesday. Today we are breaking down some interesting things. Feels a little bit like deja vu. But true. It's like I was just here. What the heck? And yet it probably needs to happen. So, you know, there's that. And of course, we're going to try and break it down from a biblical perspective. And then we have a theological discussion lined up for the end of this episode. We want to discuss how to hold on to a good thing. We seem to lose good things more than we hold on to them as Christians historically. So how do we stop doing that? We had a Christian nation and we lost it. How the heck did that happen? We're going to chat about that. But before we get into all that, we have to do what we always do, which is talk about our verse of the week. And our verse this week is actually a verse. No, I lied. Once again, it's two verses. Jeremiah 13, 15 through 16. This passage says, "Hear and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness, before your feet stumble on the twilight mountains. And while you look for light, he turns it into gloom and makes it deep darkness." And again, that's Jeremiah 13, 15, and 16. So, this passage came up. I don't know if anyone out there does the To the Word Bible Reading Challenge, but that is such a good thing to keep yourself accountable to reading the Word of God every day, especially if you have busy schedules like Jake and I do. It's constantly doing everything under the sun, and Jake's doing his culinary degree, which is, you know, super well. And what'd you get? The President's List twice, you were saying, which is like mind-blowing. Yeah. And then I teach, you know, music, Bonnet Music Academy, woohoo. And, you know, we're just super busy. And, you know, but it's dramatically important for you to set aside time to read the Word of God. And so Canon Plus puts out this program every year. It's a To the Word Bible Reading Challenge. You go through the Bible at least once a year, all the way through, and you read everything. And it reads it to you. And there's an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage. Anyways, this passage, we've been going through the book of Jeremiah, and this came up. So, hear and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. This is kind of coming dead center in the middle of the tumultuous history of Israel, right? They are repeatedly warned. They sometimes turn themselves around. Sometimes they heed the warning. Sometimes they don't. Often they don't. More often they don't. And what happens? They're repeatedly destroyed. They are brought into Babylonian captivity. They're destroyed in 70 AD. They're, you know, things keep happening to them because they sowed seeds of destruction. But you can't say God didn't warn them. This passage is a brilliant example. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness, before your feet stumble on the twilight mountains. And while you look for light, he turns it into gloom and makes it deep darkness. There are consequences for your actions. You will reap what you sow. That's not just an individual truth. That's a national truth. It's a national, confessional, and covenantal truth. When we went through the Confessional County by Raymond Simmons, that was kind of the whole thing, right? We're talking about land cursings, but also blessings, right? You reap what you sow. You can sow seeds of goodness and righteousness and beauty and truth and glory as a nation. And if you do that, you're going to sow the results of that, or you're going to reap the results of that rather, right? But if you sow the seeds of destruction, like America has been doing for the last century and a half, I would argue, you're going to get what we're getting today. Economic collapse, threats on all sides, bridges collapsing from boats, which just happened the day we're recording this, and just so many other things, right? Which we're going to discuss very shortly. Those are all the result of us reaping what we've sown. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this whole you looking for light and God turning it into gloom. Jake's going to bring that up, I think, a little bit more on our Friday episode. But, you know, I think the brunt of this passage is knowing the story of Israel. The punch behind this passage is remembering where this fits in Israel's history and recognizing that they didn't heed this warning. God gave them a chance. He gave them a way out and they didn't take it. And what they received, they deserved. Right? He gave them a way out and they didn't take it, which is why it's dramatically important for us today to recognize where we are as a culture, where we are as a people, where you are as a church, your church body, and recognize where you're at, where you need to be. That's what we hope to do with the show, right? We want to dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. You have to know where you need to be and where you are in order to make progress, in order to know what you should be doing. So with all that being said, let's go into our current events for today. And as always, Jake, what the heck is happening? Why are we all feeling deja vu right now, or why should we be deja vu?
Well, like Bruce said, it is deja vu, and Congress is back in shambles. The new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, might be under the same threat that Mike McCarthy was back, well, this was last year. I think the very first episode of last year, we discussed the whole McCarthy being kicked out of the House.
I think that was when he was installed, right? It's the beginning of last year.
Oh, that is true. So his ousting was a little bit later than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
his ousting, like, the end of last year? He was there for quite a few months. I don't remember.
Exactly. I think some articles were saying it was just 4 months ago.
Wow. Oh, 4 months ago from now. Yeah.
From now, yeah. But kind of before I talk about all that, I wanted to speak a little bit about the details as to how he's being kicked out. And I think that's something very interesting to talk about. However, I kind of want to speak about why this is happening and why would people want to kick him out. So the new spending bill, which, keep in mind, this is the same sort of bill that got McCarthy kicked out. These types of bills that would keep the government from shutting down. So they have to put through this bill, otherwise the government will shut down. And I don't know all the details on that, but I do know that this happened the last time, and now it's happening this time, and kind of the same result is going on. However, this bill, it added $1.2 trillion to our national spending. $1.2 trillion. Now, that news is bad in and of itself. However, it gets worse. And the reason it gets worse is when you actually look at it and you break it down, and you look at where all this money is going. And I kind of wanted to break that down for us here. $500 million went to the government of Jordan to protect its borders. So, of course, we care about other countries' borders, but we don't care about our own. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Then, added to that, $300 million is being given to Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Oman, and I don't even know how to pronounce it.
We're giving $300 million to countries we can't even pronounce.
Yeah. Now, in that small little package, it is stipulated that no less than $150 million of that $300 million goes to Jordan. So, Jordan is being given $500 million plus another guaranteed $150 million. Or more, technically. So,
and that hurts, especially this time of year. Because what did we all just file for?
Taxes.
Taxes! Fun! I got to watch all of my money from last year. Like, massive stack of money from last year. Just go, see ya! Bye-bye! You know, that's like, you're legally allowed to steal that, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Now, that probably just all of that got shipped overseas. Great.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'm a little wondering why Jordan of all countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because right now,
so random.
Israel, it might need help. Of course, we're not going to give it to Israel because we think Israel is evil. But then Ukraine as well. Weird. I don't know why Jordan, of all places.
Right.
It might be this whole fact of, oh, well, all these smaller countries need help. And of course, our foreign policy now is just we now help everyone and we give everything to everyone, which would be okay if we had a better stabilized country. But our country is burning. And I mean, it is very nice to know that we are giving all of our money away and more. Let's remember, we're going into debt. So not only are we giving our money away, we're giving our money plus this weird nebulous money that we don't even have yet away.
Yep.
And that's going to other countries while our country is on fire.
Great strategy.
But
can't see that going wrong.
Exactly. But I have to put in here, let's not expect intelligence from people who think baby murder and mutilation of children is acceptable.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, of course, you probably know where I'm going to go next. A large majority of this money is going to fund LGBTQ endeavors. Now, there are specifics on that, and you could go look at this bill to figure out all that. And it's a lot, dude. It's a lot that is going to fund LGBTQ stuff. Wow. So
digging our national hole deeper in the eyes of God.
Oh yeah.
We couldn't get any worse.
Yes.
Yeah. We just discovered, what is it? They're skillful in the ways of committing sin. The Psalms say skilled in the ways of, like, that's a skill. And what we are as a country honing our skill to be our skill of wickedness.
Yeah. Yeah. So, with that being said, I want to go into the fact of what... That's the cause, right? That's what's happening. Now, I wanted to speak about this motion that was put into place. Now, specifics I want to mention is that Marjorie Taylor Greene is the representative that put this motion through. She was the one who brought this motion on and kind of started it. Now... Here is the weird and not weird necessarily, but very interesting part. And I kind of like this, but I'll kind of explain that in a little bit. Unlike the McCarthy ousting, this motion is one that could take months to develop. Months. Wow. And it really, even so, months before a vote is even needed to be taken. So Marjorie Taylor Greene on this matter has stated that she wanted to put pressure on Mike Johnson, but didn't want chaos in the House. She didn't want a full-on get rid of him, and now we're scrambling to find a new one. She wanted to just put some pressure on him, saying, hey, come on, this is not what we want you to do.
Do what we put you there for.
Yeah, but without the whole what happened last time, where we weren't ready for who would take his place.
Yeah,
and that is also something that she is doing. She put a committee together to figure out who the next House Speaker could be.
Wow.
So if it is the fact that he is kicked or ousted, she has already got a committee in place to figure out who the next one or possible candidates for the next Speaker of the House, which I think is great, because your whole point of this last ousting was the fact that we weren't ready and we're kind of just doing this out of a whim. Right. And we really didn't plan about this. And it's kind of what she's kind of doing. So we're kind of learning from our mistakes.
Yeah.
So to which I really like this kind of path. But your thoughts on this, Bruce, this whole situation?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder for the verse wrap up tomorrow or Friday. But I really think that is directly pertinent to this whole conversation. Some Republicans, let's start from the beginning. Most Republicans, largely today, there's a reason we are so disenfranchised with them. We're just we're just like, ugh, Republicans make us sick today. Why? Because they don't take action and they don't stand for anything anymore. Right?
Yeah.
Now, there are a few Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene who are actually still doing something. And it's wonderful, right? It's fantastic. But they are very few and very far between. And unfortunately, the ones that are acting today are not acting for the right reasons. If they had the proper motivation to build a fundamentally Christian society once again, and that was their goal, they might actually have a chance at success. But when I hear this story, I don't immediately think of, you know, a success story coming out of this. I don't see this as like going down in the history books as like the biggest thing, that the greatest thing. Because look, everyone last year was making the last time we did this, out to be the greatest thing that, you know, the first time it's ever been done, and it's the greatest thing, you know, it's going to make the history books. And it's just, okay, yeah, it'll make the history books as like a thing that happened. But what came out of that? Here we are again. Here we are again. And our scripture verse this week is, while you look for light, he turns it into gloom and makes it deep darkness. And why does God do that? You're looking for light. You're trying to do good things, looking for light. But where are you looking for light? And what are you going to do with it? Right? James says, you ask and receive not. Or you receive not because you ask not. Or you ask and receive not because you what? Because you want to use what you receive sinfully and spend it on your passions, right? That's us as America in a nutshell, right? We either we're not asking God for blessings, or we are asking God for blessings, but we want to spend his blessings on our idolatry. That's where we're at. And that's why we're not getting blessings right now. And we're being suffocated as a nation. And we're going through all of this turmoil. So that would be my perspective on all of this. It's just, yay, you know, whoa, fight the fight. Like, but they're fighting the wrong fight. They're trying to fight it up there instead of at the center of America, which is our worship, which is our families, which is our businesses, which is our local municipalities. What's up there is this downstream of everything else, right? And we've talked about that all the time on the show.
And I think added to this, even Glenn Beck, when I was looking through articles, he was like, after this, he was like, there's no turning back. There's no, at this point, America is going down and there's nothing we can do about it anymore. And normally he sees these sort of things, these sort of like the Republicans actually putting pressure and actually doing these types of things as good as like, as what turns America around. But he's like, after this, there's no way.
Wow.
And it was weird to hear him say that.
Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah. Well, I think this particular current event, thanks by the way, Jake, for all your research and studying this and bringing it to our forefront of our attention. I think that this ties into a conversation we need to have as Christians. Jake and I have had this conversation a lot within our family too, about how to hold on to something good, how to hold on to a good thing. And that's what I'd like for us to discuss over the next 10 minutes or so, or a little less, with our theological discussion today, is how do we hold on to a good thing? And I have a series of questions. We started this last week. We might continue it over the next couple of weeks. I think it's a cool format. But basically, I have a series of questions, and I hope that we can discuss some biblical answers. I also have some quotes and some verses, and we'll sprinkle those in as we go. Right. But my first question is, what are some examples of things we used to have as Christians that we gave up or lost? So what are some examples? Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this because I read this question. I was thinking about this for a second. And I just recently saw a movie that just it reminded me of this. But the whole 9/11, right? And this is going to be a weird sidetrack. that I'm going to pull back into this. But the fact of 9/11 kind of shifting everything, but how you could before 9/11 just walk into an airport, no TSA, no nothing.
Yeah, no Patriot Act. Really. Yeah.
Exactly. You could go through. They wouldn't check your bags. You didn't have to go through this whole process. They didn't have to look at your license. They didn't have to do all this type of stuff. But the question is, why was that? Why was that? Because they trusted that you were a good standing person, that you weren't going to do this.
Yeah.
There was sort of a sense of...
We also, at that point, had not been struck by so much fear as a nation and lost complete hope in God as a nation, to the point that we were like, yes, yes, civil government, you can do everything you want. Just protect us because we're going to die if you don't. And then 9/11 happened and we were like, yeah, we're all going to die. We need civil government to be our God. I would like to vote emergency powers to the Supreme Chancellor.
And
we did.
So, but it's like, we've lost that like being able to trust the random person on a street, being able to trust that they don't have evil intent in their heart, which understandably we're all evil creatures, sinful creatures, but as a society, as a community, as a land, as a culture of Christians, you can trust that people aren't going to stab you or steal your stuff or murder you.
Yeah.
There is that sort of trust.
Yeah.
And
that definitely
we used to have that
here in Moscow.
Yeah.
It's a small-ish town, but it's still pretty large. But it's generally safe, right? Now, sure, every town has its, it's a college town. And keep in mind that those big things you've heard about, the stabbings, the murders, or whatever, those happened on the college campus, the secular college campus. Keep that in mind. But largely, it is a safe town. It's a town where people largely leave their doors unlocked.
And the reason those things blew up is because they don't have them as often. You don't hear about every single killing that happens in New York because you expect it. Moscow, you hear of a killing and it's like, oh my goodness, that's news.
Unexpected. So it's a really great example. Of giving up even your freedoms because of fear and all those sorts of things. I would list three examples of historical significance. One, obviously Israel. Right? Now we as Christians, the Christian name didn't, but God's people, right, which we're a continuation of, lost Israel and what it was supposed to be. They lost majorly over and over and over again because they couldn't hold onto it. And David tells us in the Psalms why that is, and we'll get to that in a second. Secondly, we talked in Angels in the Architecture when we read through Angels in the Architecture by Pastor Wilson and Douglas Jones, or Douglas, wait, who is it? Douglas, Douglas Jones, right?
Yeah, I think it was Douglas Jones.
Yeah, okay. I was like, wait, what? Yeah. Angels in the Architecture talking about.
Yep.
You found it?
No, you're right. Yep.
Good. Okay.
Whew. Jones.
All right. Yep. That's what I thought. but talking about the Middle Ages, right? The first Christendom and how we lost that, but it was glorious for such a long time. But we lost that too. And now the latest experiment is America, right? Not a chosen nation, but it was a nation that was a Christian nation, very distinctly a Christian nation, Presbyterian Christian nation. But we've lost it. We've given it up, right? We just let the heathen take it. So my next question is, what are some of the core reasons we lost these things? Some of the core reasons Israel lost their stature and their status and their glory. The Middle Ages lost that, and America lost that. I mean, this is spanning thousands of years, but the reasons are still the same. I have a quote from David Barton that I'd like to pull in, and then Jake, maybe we can discuss it a little bit. David Barton, and he has a really good, it's right here, actually, a really good book called Original Intent. He's talking about the original intent of America. What was the foundation of America? What was America built on? And what were its principles? It's a really, really good book. Did you read this in one of the courses you took, Jake?
Or parts? I don't think so.
Oh, okay, okay. But it's a great book, and he has this one chapter where he talks about the issues with how we lost America. Page 331, he said, quote, "A major factor contributing to the gradual devolution of each of the above areas has been a lack of accurate factual information." Accurate factual information. We have a huge lack of that. For example, had the public been aware of our founding documents and understood the philosophy behind them, the Corps could never have achieved its supremacy of recent decades. Similarly, had Americans better known our history and the founders' abundant writings, we would never have accepted the assertion that our founders were irreligious and disapproved of public religious expressions. David Barton, Original Intent, page 331. So the essence there is lack of information, right? Do you have any thoughts on that, Jake, before we move on to the next verse?
I think so. I think, yeah, I would say definitely the lack of information, but what caused that? What caused the lack of information? I would say the public schools are what caused the lack of information.
Exactly where
I was. Because, because they stopped teaching it. They stopped teaching those things intentionally. Not as if this was just some mistake, but it was intentionally that they stopped talking about this, so people stopped learning about this.
Yeah, I think the amount of people today that have a completely backwards idea of what the founding of America was, or even what our American form of civil government was meant to be, is kind of astounding. And this is not just David Barton's idea. This is actually a very biblical idea as well. Psalm 78:11 says, quote, "They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them." They forgot. They forgot his glorious works. And so because of that, they fell. So one of the core reasons for us losing this nation is our lack of knowledge, is our lack of understanding of the past. Okay, so I'd like to skip on to the final question here. How do we avoid letting go of our hold on a culture? So how do we actually hold on to a good thing? And I think that Psalm 78, I just pulled that in a little earlier, talking about how the people of Israel forgot the glorious things that the Lord had done. I think Psalm 78 is also our answer. And Psalm 78:4 says, well, when Psalm 78 is discussing the glorious works of the Lord, it says, quote, "We will not hide them, glorious laws, the works of the Lord, from our children, but will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." And that is the break in the line. Psalm 78 is a really long psalm, but it tells the history of Israel in a psalm. And it talks about how Israel is, was crumbling and dying because of several reasons, and it lists those reasons in that psalm. Jake, did you have any thoughts on that before we moved on to Psalm 73?
Yeah, I definitely, this speaks to the whole teaching and that whole government school aspect, is the fact that we ran away from teaching the next generation about God, about things. And so we just left that off to a different person. We said, oh, I don't want to have to do this anymore, and I want to give it off to the public schools to do. And then they stopped. Then the public schools, of course, their entire intent from the very beginning was not to teach God, but it was completely for a totally different reason. The public schools were evil, even though they did teach good things. I think there was prayer, there was some biblical things at the beginning, but it wasn't the purpose of the government schools.
Yeah.
It was something completely different. And I'll leave that there.
Yeah. So Psalm 73 says this, "For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." That's verse 3. "Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. they increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I've been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. And that's verses 12 through 17. So what's the point there? The wicked are gaining in power, gaining in prosperity, gaining in authority, persuasion over the masses. It seems like they're getting better and better. And we are, you know, keeping our hearts clean and washing our hands in innocence. And we're still rebuked. We're stricken. We're mocked. We're scorned. We're, you know, constantly we are taken off of platforms. We, for instance, were taken off of YouTube. And, you know, which is a very minuscule thing compared to everything else, but it still happened. And when we think about understanding this, when we try and ponder all this, and we try to understand, it's just too wearisome of a task. It's not something we can understand. It drains us. It just saps all the life out of us. And how do we overcome that? How does David say we should overcome that? We go into the sanctuary of God. We worship the God who created heaven and earth. And that's how we will discern their end. That's why worship is warfare. Because we go into the sanctuary of the Almighty God and we see the end of our enemies. Right? That's what this is. Right? This is not, go into the sanctuary and hide under a blanket and just pray that the bad people outside stop. No, it's, I go into the sanctuary weary, heavy laden, unable to do anything. And I learn the end of the wicked. I learn that their days are numbered. I learn how to defeat them by living a Christian life, by building a Christian culture, by getting to work. Worship is warfare. So those are the two ways to avoid letting go of a culture. So how do we hold on to a culture? How do we hold on to a good thing? Covenantal succession and worship. We take our children seriously through the covenant, and we take our worship seriously. And those two things, when done biblically and rightly, will conquer a nation. That's how we do that. Any final thoughts, Jake, before we wrap up?
Nope.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We hope this was an encouragement. We hope it encouraged you to get to work. We're looking forward to seeing you on Friday. We're back breaking down chapters 2 and 3 in Adam Terrell's book, Public Stoning. It's quite the book. So if you missed last week's, you don't want to miss last week's or you'll be lost. So go back and listen to last Friday's. And we will see you this Friday. We break down the next 2 chapters. Until then, remember, everyone, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.